All right, Sheck here, and you are listening to The Dungeon on 91.3 WLVR in Bethlehem. And right now on the phone with us, on vocals, guitar, and lead chainsaw from the hardest working band in rock and roll, Jackal, Mr. Jesse James Dupree. How are you, dude?
What up, my brother? Everything's great, man.
Very, very good. And you're currently on the road supporting the newest Jackal record, When Moonshine and Dynamite Collide.
Not only are we out touring in support of the new record, but Roman and I are riding our motorcycles. We just pulled off the side of the road to do this interview. We're sitting here baking in about 30 miles north of Kansas City, and we've ridden about 430 miles today.
Oh, wow. Are you kidding me?
Uh-uh.
So you're riding pretty much on your bike on the road this time around?
From show to show, yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. Who needs a bus, right?
Yeah.
And the new one, when Moonshine and Dynamite Collide, it's a very solid record, and it's been getting good reviews, and it's a warm welcome, you know, from the fans and everything. They've waited a long time. We've waited a long time for it, Jesse.
Well, we've been, you know, a lot of these songs we've been road testing, and we've been out touring every summer and such, and it was just time to we had a collection of songs that we knew had passed the road test, so we wanted to lay them down and put them out. And It's a cool record, man. We couldn't be any more proud of it.
It's definitely Jackal. You know what I mean? It has all the elements of Jackal. It has the hard rock, the southern rock, a little bit of metal, the dirty, and the humor. So it's definitely a Jackal record. So I think that's why everybody's so pleased with it, you know?
Well, you get it, man. So if you overanalyze it, you're missing out.
Yeah, you keep it simple, you know, but it's still great stuff, you know?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And what does this record mean to you, Jesse?
Well, it means the sets sometimes goes over 2 hours because we can't really stand the thought of cutting stuff out. We've been playing a lot of stuff and just whatever feels good, you know. It's been a great 2010 so far, and the response, you know, for the new album has been, you know, real solid, and that makes us proud that, you know, people have connected with it.
Well, speaking of live shows and stuff, do you change up your set list at all, or?
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, it, like I say, it, I mean, you know, you get some nights in those rooms that you know, that just sound, everything's dialed in, it hits, you know, and it's hard to make yourself stop. And, we were playing the other night up in Wisconsin, and I bet it was 150 degrees, and we jammed it until we about passed out and started seeing the lights, you know, but it just varies. I mean, you know, the night kind of dictates where it goes.
Do you do stuff on the fly? You know what I mean? Just call songs as you feel them sometimes, or
yes. Well, I mean, we know there's certain songs that we gotta get out there or we just don't feel right about it if we don't. But you know, I mean, yeah, we mix things up.
And like we said, we mentioned, you know, you're currently on the road. This is something that you guys are used to. I mean, you're on the road a lot.
But you know, Roman and I ride about 20,000 miles a year, and we do a lot of different things. Like we did a big charity ride with a station up near Minneapolis over the weekend, and you know, just it gives us a chance to ride with, you know, 300-400 people that, you know, that share the same passion for the bikes as we do.
And your live shows are very high energy, and you guys are on the road all the time, you know, doing shows. How do you keep that energy through the length of a full tour?
You know, it's how do you not? I mean, you know, people take, you know, people are in this day and time, everybody busting their knuckles for 40, 50 hours a week, you know, trying to carve out a living. And, you know, if they don't take the time to come and jam with us, you know, it just fuels our fire. And, you know, we celebrate it every time we hit the stage. We don't take it for granted. I mean, I poured many a yard of concrete. So, you know, I mean, once again, every day that I get to get up and play, you know, I can't be mealy-mouthing about calling it work. You know, I'm a lucky bastard.
Many people envy you with that, you know what I mean?
Well, you could make love for a living, and after about the third day, it'd be like going to work. But you just have to remind yourself sometimes that making love is a hell of a lot better than making donuts.
And like I mentioned at the top here, the Guinness Book. Let's talk a little bit about the Guinness Book here. You guys earned the title, and this is one that you definitely earn. The hardest working band in rock and roll. 100 shows in 50 days and 21 shows in 24 hours. Now,
I invite anybody to go out and try to do it the same way. I mean, every show was plugged in and full tilt. And
that's what I'm saying. Like, they were full shows, right? They weren't like a couple songs here and there. They were actual shows.
With the 21 shows in 24-hour period had to be, they were half-hour shows with a 15-minute meet and greet, 15 minutes to change the audience out. So those were cut back, but still, you know, we went around the clock. And, I sang my ass off for about the first 17 of the shows, and then I started getting a little beat down. But hell, we finished up, and we finished up that morning, took a nap that day, and played again that next night. So, we kept going.
And that's what I was going to ask you. How long after those shows did you guys collapse?
We didn't. I mean, when we got through doing the 100 shows, when we finished the 100 shows in 50 days, we were, you know, quite a bit in debt because so many of those shows were free, and so we ended up having to keep working.
Wow.
We had to work another few weeks past that benchmark just to be able to get out of the hole.
When was that, Jesse?
99.
And was there a representative from Guinness there the whole time?
No, we had little witness sheets that everybody signed and documented and such.
I got it. Now let's get back to the record again, because it's a great record. We've been playing pretty much everything on here, dude. There's not a bad cut on here.
Thank you so much.
When Moonshine and Dynamite Collide. Now, I think, to me anyway, you guys can cross over pretty easily because we touched on it a little bit earlier. I mean, you got the Southern rock in there, the hard rock, a touch of metal, you know. And on the album, I mean, it's represented. You know, you can flat out rock, you know, like My Moonshine Kicks Your Cocaine's Ass. And there's some on there that are groove based, like She's Not a Drug. And even Slow It Down with a title track, you know. So you can pretty much cross over.
Well, we just don't really have any boundaries, you know, in regards to what we want to do. I mean, whether we're, you know, sometimes criticized for it or whatever. I mean, we enjoy ourselves, and I mean the whole concept is for us just to be who we are, and hopefully people can, you know, can at least appreciate that.
And what about the inclusion of Mercedes Benz? I had somebody call, a listener call the other day, and he's like, man, what a great record, you know? And he's like, Jesse threw me a curve with the Mercedes Benz on there. Not saying it was bad, it was just, I don't know, he thought maybe a little out of character, I think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Janis Joplin was, I mean, how truly down to the basics of rock can you get than Janis, you know? But I mean, it wasn't planned. It was something that happened naturally. I mean, I was in the studio one night. My voice was kind of, you know, tattered because I'd been getting on it, and I just felt like it just kind of. I was in there by myself, and I had the microphone set up, so I pressed record and laid it down, and I was listening back to it. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was listening back to it in the studio, and my son came in, Nigel, and he standing behind me, and I turned around and looked, and saw him standing there. I finished listening to it. I turned back around again. He kind of had some tears in his eyes. I said, what's wrong? I thought something was wrong. I said, what's the matter? And he's 20 years old. I said, what's the matter? And he goes, oh, they just got to me. And he just gave me a big old hug, you know, because he's about an inch taller than I am now. But I don't know, he had never really heard that song before, and he had never heard me just bellow it out, just, you know, kind of raw and exposed. And so, I don't know, it was kind of a self-indulgent special moment for me, and I just left it on the record.
It's very true to it, you know what I mean? It's really good, yeah. And I want to ask you too. Yeah, I want to ask you too. You guys just played in Allentown just a couple weeks ago over at Crocodile Rocket. Every time you come on tour, you always play there, which is awesome for us. We get to see you all the time. But anyway, I want to ask you your influences. You know, like maybe a top three for you anyway, because you know you pretty much cover everything. And the last time you were there, you did a little Conway Twitty. Do you remember that?
Conway, my dad, I grew up listening to my dad play, you know, Charlie Pride and Conway Twitty and all that, Hank Williams and all that stuff. So, yeah, they definitely influenced me. But I mean, you know, stuff like The Who, I'm a big Who fan, and Steve Marriott, Humble Pie. Of course, AC/DC are the greats, you know, they kick ass. And so, I mean, we just all the obvious, I think, from listening to us, you can tell who we grew up loving.
Yeah, pretty much the bare bones stuff, you know, but still great stuff. That stuff had more heart, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, you talked about your son, Nigel. Nigel's going to be playing here in town shortly, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Good. You got to support Nigel, man.
We have. Yeah, we've been playing his stuff, too.
I happened to be, I was in Minneapolis, and I was sitting there, and Roman, the bass player for Jackal, he goes, do you know where Nigel is? And I said, nowhere. And he goes, he's right across the street and I said, how do you know that? And he goes, because his bass player just texted me, and they're here. And we didn't even know. We both ended up in Minneapolis at the same time. And I asked him, I said, where are you staying at? And he said, at the Walmart. And I said, you're staying at the Walmart? And he said, yeah. And I said, what do you mean you're staying at the Walmart? And he goes, well, we're trying to save money. So he goes, we're sleeping in the parking lot of the Walmart in our van. And I said, are you kidding me? So I made him get over to the hotel, and I got him a room. I said, don't do that. I mean, just he's just telling me he's living it. He's doing it the rock and roll way, though. I'm proud of him. But, God, I mean, I tell you, how much? And I said, why do you guys save money? He goes, well, because I put some more money on the credit card that you don't know about, you know, because somebody didn't pay him or something. I said, well, just get your ass over here in the room.
So does he come? I mean, he didn't come to you for that, but does he come to you for any other advice? You know, about the road or music and or the business in general?
You know, he prides himself on doing it his way. You know, he does come to me every now and then, but he's been self-sufficient, you know, books his own shows and such.
Yeah, that's terrific. And did you guys ever play out on the road together at all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
He helped up for us on Father's Day.
Oh, that had to be a treat right there.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. Well, you know what? I'll let you get going, Jesse, because I know you're on order. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to ask you, though. When you played in town here, there was a big biker crowd represented. I knew you're a biker yourself, but, I mean, it's got to feel good knowing, you know, if you ever need it, they'll probably have your back for you, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, man, anybody that comes to our shows out there, family, and we do have a lot of people that know from the Full Throttle Saloon reality show. You know, they know that I'm into riding my motor. I'm not affiliated with any clubs or anything. I mean, we have different, you know, we do everything from, you know, I mean, you know, the A-Bait groups, and then the, you know, the March of Dimes bikers for babies, and, you know, just all that stuff. And we end up crossing paths with, you know, different, you know, the hog chapters and all that stuff. But we just ride. We just do our own thing.
And you've played Sturgis before, right?
We play there every year.
Ah, very good, very good.
It's Full Throttle Saloon.
And what kind of bike you're riding now?
Roman and I both are riding 09 Street Glides.
And putting on the mileage.
Yes, sir.
Well, like I said again, I'll let you go. I know you're on the road. You're a busy, busy guy. You have off today?
Yeah, we have off, but I'm actually late for a dinner. We're actually going down to the Worth Harley Davidson shop in Kansas City, and we're taking those guys out to dinner. They always take such good care of us, and we're just sitting here baking right now. I got about a damn pound of sunblock on and sitting on the side of the road cooking, you know.
All right, well, I thank you for your time, Jesse, and we thank you for the record, too. Great one.
Thank you, man. Spread the word. People grab it. It's called When Moonshine and Dynamite Collide. It's a big old slab of 2010 rock and roll. And then come see us live.
And we hope to talk to you again soon, all right, man?
All right, Shaq. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, take it easy.